text 20. Let's say Sanskrit together.
Najayate jayate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate anyamane sharire najayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuya अजो नित्या शाश्वतो यम पुराणो नान्यते अन्यमाने शरीरे.
For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain.
So here also Krishna is continuing about the eternality of the soul. So you will see few verses in, I think, even 21. He is going to again talk about the eternality of the soul. Because why is so much repetition? Usually in spiritual life, right? We lot of times we keep repeating. Repetition is necessary. That's what Prabhupada says. So why is that in spiritual life it's important? Even something.
What is important?
The repetition. Like for example, this verse it talks about the eternality of the soul. I think even in 21 it talks about the eternality. Like many times it's repeating.
To emphasize.
It becomes
so that you make it to feed into our brain.
Yeah, because we are so dull minded. Yeah, we are so dull, right? Basically, so some things very, very important, it's, you know, repetition is done so that way we try to remember things. We can do.
Purport. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called the steady or kutastha. The body is subject to six kind of transformations. It takes its birth from the womb of mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces some effects, gradually dwindles, and at last vanishes into oblivion. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born, but because he takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. He is eternal. Ever existing in primeval, that is, there is no trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man therefore feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth.
Is it true? It's true, right? So in this context, you know, especially Prabhupada talks about which Akbar? I don't remember. There's one example Prabhupada gives. Basically, you know, they wanted to test, you know, especially the sexual desire, right? So people say, you know, when adult or, you know, when you are teenager like that, right? That's the time it automatically, it's already there inside. It's a, you know, it's not manifested. Even the small babies, right? It's already there actually. Desires is there. It's just that when it will manifest. So what happens is, you know, the desires, as we know, the generally it's said that when you get older, it will die off. That's what, at least I don't know what you guys think, but that's a conception everybody has. When you get older, the desires will...
Right? Oh, see, look at this old man also, he's doing like this.
So it will usually... So that's a general, you know, the thinking people. When you get old, so slowly all the desires should go off. But that's not the case. So Prabhupada gives one example of I don't know which king, Akbar or somebody, I don't know which exactly, I cannot able to recall. So what happens is one old man will be dying, he's almost on deathbed. So what happens then, the secretary says to the king that I will show you how the desires are still stronger, they will never go away. So then what he does is, he tells you, take your daughter, king's daughter, let's go to this dying man, let's go and visit him. So the king takes his daughter and they go to see him, visit him. Then, you know, they immediately when they enter, the man who is dying, very old and he is dying, his eyes are always fixed on his daughter. He was always, you know, trying to enjoy. But the body doesn't permit. But the desires, the same. It's the same spirit as what when they were young or teenager or adult, old man also. So then the secretary said to the king, see, I told you, it's that's how it is. Because the body is not, you know, able to enjoy, but the spirit is already, it's always there.
But if we live intelligently, like the service and everything, isn't the desire supposed to go away toward the...
Yes.
Isn't supposed to...
You have to change the consciousness.
Yeah,
that's why it's called Krishna consciousness. So you kind of, you know, change your... See, the... You can change your physical... you know, artificially you can try to change, but it won't work. The habits or whatever, it won't work. Artificially you can stop smoking or something. But with knowledge, if you know smoking is bad, all those things, then if you work on it,
yeah.
The conscious, basically the consciousness has to be changed.
Yeah, the suppression is not going to work.
Yes,
one
that will
sublimation,
never.
You have to understand,
yes.
and then implement it.
Yes. So that's why Prabhupada called it, you know, Krishna consciousness, changing your consciousness. Yes, of course, yeah. Then when you change it towards your Krishna service, then it will change. The desires will change. You will have the desires, but the desires will be for Krishna.
So,
at old age also, in the deathbed also, we'll be thinking, you know, how to serve Krishna.
Yeah, that's the correct
right?
consciousness.
That's
because last second we cannot think, right? The whole life with heart about
so something. So, have you seen Prabhupada's Abhicharan DVD? Like, or even Prabhupada's, actually there is a...
It's called Final Lesson.
Full 10 years, Prabhupada, when he was in US, all the moments are captured in video and they were like, you know, given captions by Prabhupada disciples when during that time, you know, what happened, what is the context. Prabhupada's voice is not there. So the last time his passing is also recorded. So even till the last minute, he was in the deathbed, he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. The microphone, so very faint voice, everybody is next to him, in a way, shock, going to, you know, experience the moment, you know, he's going to leave. Everybody's crying, but he's translating 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
You can imagine what a consciousness. He's translating in the deathbed, he's about to leave. Then automatically he just, you know, he closes his eyes, that's all. He was doing the translation, he just closes his eyes. So that's so it said that he taught us how to leave the body also, how to die. It's there's a caption, how to die.
I have a question on if the soul is connected to our thinking and the mind and drives all our actions. So what happens when people get Alzheimer's and some of the diseases where they have dementia, where
they forget things.
They don't kind of, they're not the same person again, and suddenly they slowly deteriorate. So
yeah.
They don't have any desires, they don't know.
They have desires, who said? That's why the desires they have, but the physical body doesn't permit.
Yeah, but if I have Alzheimer's, I actually don't have any memory of anything at all, like even in the current
world. It's unmanifested. You don't remember, but the desires are there. It's just that a physical limitation or the physical disease makes it like that. Desires will be there inside, but they're not able to express.
Yeah, it's like. As if you are a small child like that.
They forget things.
But is the soul forgetting things at that point, or is what's...
No, soul is pure by nature.
Okay.
Soul is pure by nature. Every soul is spiritual by nature. Very pure, knowledge, full of knowledge, bliss. But when we come in contact with material nature, three modes, that we get conditioned.
So we are bound by the body we take. So that's the whole thing. That's why it's called conditioning. Let's say Prabhupada gave example, like for example, if somebody is in a dog's body, we cannot expect them to behave like a human being. They are going to bark like a dog, whatever it is. Right? Like same thing, if somebody is in a female body, there are certain things, you know, nature by nature, how females do, they are going to do like that. So this is called conditioning.
That's the law of that nature's drives.
We are all forced to be forced to actually follow these things, conditionings. Only when, you know, we take to devotional service can we go beyond our conditionings. Actually, now we don't even know, you know, we have conditionings.
Yeah, that's
but
so
when
strong.
When we have certain habits which we want to get rid,
mm.
like that's when we know, you know, when we start to get rid of them, then we'll feel like, you know, how strong is our conditioning. For so many lifetimes, we have practiced this habit, you know, either watching TV or eating, drinking coffee or something, or, you know, becoming angry or scolding or something. So many times we have practiced, did the same thing again and again. It's so ingrained in our nature. Become like second nature. So now we have to overcome the only way, the powerful way to overcome conditioning is to practice devotional service. Because, you know, the strength is not about, you know, I want to change my behavior so that, you know, I will be a good person. That's at one level. Okay, I want to be a better husband, you know, I want to treat my wife properly. That's why I want to, you know, get rid of this anger. That's one level. But better than that is to do it for Krishna. It's like, you know, I want to be a better devotee for Krishna. So Krishna, this conditioning is not making me better. So can you please help me? Can you please help me, you know, overcome this? So that is bhakti. So yeah, then we can, with that strength, we can overcome the conditioning.
I have one question. Here, the purport, the soul is not born, but because he takes on the material body, the body takes its birth.
Like it's born, right?
So,
the body.
And then how is the individuality, how is it connected to the individuality we talked about before, right? The individuality, how? I'm not very clear.
Like the soul, individuality of the soul?
Soul.
So, we are always individual soul.
But then the body is not, the soul is not born, then.
Yeah, the soul is always existing.
That is the okay.
Mm.
Yeah, soul is always existing.
Okay.
Only thing is we take different bodies according to our actions.
Not born
or,
that point.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always existing.
It's always existing soul. It's just that, you know, even during devastation, end of Kali Yuga,
mm.
so even that time everything becomes unmanifestation and stays in the body of Mahavishnu. So it's said that everything gets destructed. That means everybody, you know, lose body, everything. But as a spirit soul, which still exists in the body of Mahavishnu, when he inhales everything, that's a destruction. So everything will go into his body and it's unmanifested stage. Like how we gave example of banyan tree, seed of a banyan tree. It's a seed, but everything is inside that. But when you water it, right, at the right time, it grows and we become a big tree. Yeah, that's how it manifests and unmanifests.
So, question to follow up on his comment. So, supposing you are very religious, you are, you know, in Krishna consciousness, and you have Alzheimer's, or you have something, and you get older. So, the way you have no control after that,
yes,
right? You can't say that I'll pass away thinking of God, Krishna.
Yeah,
or, you know, you can't. So. Is that a limitation, that bad health and all that?
Yeah, actually, in 8th chapter, Krishna talks about different ways of passing the body from this, passing the light from this body. So he talks about, you know, passing in light. Then if you pass in light, especially mostly related to mystic yogis, where they practice, you know, at a particular time I'm going to die.
Yeah.
They can do yoga by which they can control the time they're going to go. And based on the time they leave the body, they get a particular destination. So we can just read through those verses. And there he talks about, you know, passing in light means you will attain heavenly planets. Passing in darkness, mostly, you know, lower planets. But he said, you know, devotee is not bothered by these because, you know, I give them the protection. So that's
okay.
The assurance. So yogis and all, they do... It's we discuss about this, right? Like Shubha example of
Paksha and Krishna Paksha, those things we did briefly did.
Yeah, the cat carrying the kitten and who's it?
Monkey
carrying its child, right? So that's how. For us, it's Krishna is carrying us. So it's not our strength.
Yeah.
So that's why we are completely protected. So we can just briefly read through the translation, just for the context.
24, 25.
That's
yeah.
Page 24.
Where is the other one? Where we stop? Wherever we stop, we continue from the.
Yeah, that is 8.6. Yeah, 5, 6.
No.
Huh?
No. No, what, wherever we
that
stop.
That is anything of me when you die, right?
Oh, you continue from there?
Mm.
So that is like, there is no loss or diminution in this process.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not able to recall that.
Oh,
so
basically, where Krishna says you will be born in a religious
chapter
family.
Six,
that is
chapter 6.
Sixth chapter, last verses.
Sixth chapter, meditation.
Okay, first we'll do this eighth chapter. We're discussing 24th, verse number 24 and 25, right? So 23, Krishna first says, O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which passing from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Text number 24. Those who know the Supreme Brahman attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God in the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the excuse me, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. The mystic who passes away, text number 25, the mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. So this person goes to the heavenly planet, but he comes back again. Text number 26, according to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. So this was a summary of the last two verses. When one passes in light, he does not come back. When passes in darkness, he returns. Text number 27, although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered, therefore they are always fixed in devotion.
So addition to that, yeah, 6th chapter 42, so you are practicing for some time, right? For, we are practicing devotion. So for a, we get some disease or all my whatever the disease or something
mm-hmm.
happens. So that's what Krishna says, you will continue from wherever you left off.
Mm-hmm.
Your next birth will be the continuation of that. So you will never lose anything. Whatever you practice, you will never go in vain. You will always continue.
Does the karma balance?
Which one?
That's the karma balance,
no, no,
whatever
no.
you have done.
No, this is spiritual luck bank.
It's a spiritual, it's not even karma, right? It's akarma. It's
devotion service.
Yeah, it's devotion service. It doesn't occur reaction. Whatever we do now for Krishna, right?
No, it
never get reaction for that. Because even if you do pious activity, you get reaction for that. So to, you know, to enjoy that, you have to come back again. Even if you do pious activity, you have to come back again to material world, to our heavenly planets, wherever, to finish off that also. But when we do devotional service, you don't accrue anything, no reactions. So then you will directly go to spiritual life, spiritual life.
And also like one practical incident was there with Srila Prabhupada, like one of his disciples, right? He, Prabhupada at the time, you know, it's all about pushing forward the mission, like, you know, as much as possible to build temples, to reach out to people and as many people as possible. So all his disciples were completely engaged in that service, in assisting Srila Prabhupada in his mission. Like, you know, they dedicated their life, you know, many of them took sannyas and completely, fully, 100% dedicated to whatever Prabhupada chanting, you know, and doing the things. So many times Prabhupada used to, you know, go in train and suddenly ask somebody to get down in this train and say, okay, now establish the temple here, like that. You know, so much surrendered, all these disciples. So one of his disciples was given a service to take care of his temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple. So, and actually construction of the temple. So then there was so much India, right, like so much cheating with respect to cement, all this. This is, and these are American disciples, you know, they have to fight with all these people, and especially mosquito, so much weather, all these things, also despite all those things. And then he was saying, you know, day and night I'm thinking about cement, bricks, you know, how to build the temple, all these things. I'm not even remembering Krishna. And all the other disciples, you know, they are going here and there, and chanting, you know, Vrindavan means mainly, you know, you have to chant, remember Krishna directly, right? So I'm not even thinking of Krishna even 1 second. So what is the, I mean, am I doing the right thing? Prabhupada said, as you build a temple here, Krishna is building a house for you in spiritual world. So, you know, this is your service, this is what you need to do. So like that.
Krishna means not just Krishna, right?
Mm.
Now we say Krishna, it's not just, you know, exclusive Krishna. Krishna, it's not just Krishna. Krishna means Krishna and his devotees and his related paraphernalia. So we are building temple, so we are actually involved in the service to Krishna. So it's not different from somebody who is pujari, who is doing directly, you know, dressing the deity. It's not different. If you are doing cleaning or, you know, pot washing or cleaning the floor, it's actually non-different from directly being on the altar, doing puja or, you know, bathing Krishna. It's non-different.
And also
they get the same
higher principle is, like, actually, more than serving Krishna's devotee is much more beneficial. Like, you know, these disciples are serving, dedicating completely to Prabhupada, right? Assisting him, that is a greater service than directly, you know, trying to, you know, serve Krishna. Because we don't know how to serve Krishna. Only when they train us, you know, how this is the way you have to serve by, you know, giving service, that's when we will know. So that's actually the servant attitude, which we miss, and we immediately, initially when we come, we think, oh, okay, now, you know, and directly Krishna I can see. Even, you know, I don't know how many of you know, there is an etiquette in seeing the deity. How many of you know? So deity, when we see Krishna, we have to start from lotus feet up onwards. First, we should see the lotus feet. We should, Prabhupada said, especially Srimad Bhagavatam is like Krishna, is Krishna. So he said, first 2 cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Like that it goes. And 10th canto, the special section about Rasalila, it's like Krishna's smiling face. Especially the beautiful smile. So Prabhupada said, all the sahajiyas, they just want to jump to this Rasalila and discuss that. But you know, we should not do like that. We should first get ourselves accustomed to seeing Krishna's lotus feet, which is like first 2 cantos, study. Like they gradually study very nicely and, you know, realize that, then come to the 10th canto. So similarly, the darshan of the deity goes like that. Start with the lotus feet and then slowly look at every part of the Lord's body and then come to the face. So that's the etiquette in seeing the deity.
That is when you are close, even from far off. Like, I'm just saying,
when you from afar, you know.
Tendency is to look at the face, right?
Yeah, you cannot really, from far you cannot notice. Right? When you go closer, when you go closer and take darshan, that's the time you take. Yeah. Okay. Can continue.
The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree, nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different individual souls, and owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence, but the soul has neither offshoots nor change. Therefore, the soul is free from the 6 changes of the body.
So, it's so important, right? Did you get a point here? What Prabhupada is trying to make here? They got the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, because of our conditioning, we take it, you know, it's my kid, right? Like, we take it. But everybody is related to Krishna. Just because, you know, Krishna is giving us the opportunity to deliver the kids. The kids take birth because of, you know, whatever karma they have accrued. So they get particular family, they get born here, they get born here. But as a duty of, you know, the person who is practicing spirituality, it's we have to bring them up, and once you give them spiritual life, that means they will get delivered. That's actually the main duty of the householder, grihasthas.
In Katha Upanishad 1.218, we also find a similar passage which reads, Na jayate mriyate va vipashtin, nayam kutas kaschin kutaschin nabhuva kaschit ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire.
Oh, it's almost similar. Same, right?
One or two words.
Kadachin.
Kadachin. The second line is different.
Yeah, kaschit.
And kutaschin.
Yeah.
Kaschit
and kadachit, the meaning is the same.
Yeah, I think probably, yeah, you can. Yeah.
The meaning and purport of this verse is the same as in the Bhagavad Gita. But here in this verse, there is one special word, vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge or full always with consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart where he is situated, one can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to clouds or for some other reason, but the light of the sun is always there, and we are convinced that it is therefore daytime. As soon as there is a little light in the sky early in the morning, we can understand that the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. This consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme Consciousness is all knowledge, past, present and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be useless.
So many points, right? With so beautiful analogy here. The sun, if it's, you know, it's behind the clouds, we cannot say there is no sun. So same Prabhupada is saying the same thing, soul. Because it's so minute, as we discussed the size of the soul, we cannot say it. But by the presence of the consciousness, we can say that there is a soul present. If there is no soul, right, there won't be consciousness. That's the difference between the dead body and the living body. So amazing analogy, like, you know. Yeah,
so
analogies
the consciousness
are used
of the Supreme.
Yeah, that's the next point he's trying to make. So the first point was that. The second point is coming to, like, you know, limited consciousness and the Supreme Consciousness. Basically, differentiating between the living entity and the Krishna. Or Paramatma.
Paramatma, that is.
Where he is present in everybody's heart. Yeah, that's the Supreme Consciousness. That's how he knows everybody's. That's how he keeps tracks of everybody's activities.
So, somebody is in coma, like, I mean, there is no consciousness at that point. So, is there no soul?
That is. Is that conscious or that's. This is different, right?
Is that the conscious?
That is
consciousness, right? It's being.
Conscious is why. It's not like. I mean, being staying alert, I mean, you're not feeling anything, whereas this consciousness is more of the state of mind. I mean,
awareness.
The coma, the person in coma is actually his mind isn't active, so he's kind of, his body is active, but he doesn't have consciousness, he's not able to feel anything, he's not able to do anything. I think his mind also is not dead, like, he's not mentally, his mind is also active, but he's in a state where he's not conscious.
But they're active, right? Mind? No. I don't know much. I didn't read about coma. I don't know what their state is.
I think mind is kind of active, semi-active, but body is not at all active.
Yeah.
To keep the mind active, maybe again that soul is present.
Mm. No, but he doesn't do anything. He doesn't talk. He doesn't.
But the
yeah,
consciousness
the
is
soul.
There because he's
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not.
If he's alive, so if he's breathed, then he's.
Yeah.
See, if the soul leaves, then that means the body is dead. Mm. I don't know.
Coma is not dead.
No, basically, the body is breathing
body
in the mind.
Yeah.
Body doesn't work.
Yeah,
but there is a blood circulation in the body.
Yeah.
The coma person, it will
yeah.
be working.
Different type of comas and all, but yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, if somebody is in coma, means the demigods are deciding, you know, where he has to go now.
Hmm.
Whether to, you know, many planets or to...
Hmm.
Somehow, you know, there is some confusion. They couldn't clearly decide where he has to go. So they are... discussing among themselves. He's in a suspended state.
Yeah, he says
whether to give him the body or take the body.
No, it's like, all special cases. They're that kind of people. So, you know, the decision has to be made for them.
Yeah.
So, when the decision comes, you know, they'll revive or
gone. Some people recover, some people pass away.
The other thing that people say usually is when you die, Yama comes and picks you.
Yeah.
And
that's
goes true. Like, but your soul is so small, what does he pick up? Like, I
mean, you know.
And Yama is really well built also.
I think when you see Yama, your soul will become
Yama.
No,
actually, there is description in 12th canto, I think. About, you know, where the different destinations and how people have to suffer. For example, like if you're addicted to meat eating, what suffering is waiting for you, right? It's so much detailed description.
Yeah, it's very detailed description.
So that
yeah.
it's very clear for us, you know, where we are getting into. We may think initially, without knowing consequences, we think, oh, what is there in eating meat, right? But when we know, like, you know, this person is just trying to be like this, then at least we'll be scared. So there, the what I read is that, you know, the soul is small, but as Yamaraj takes and, you know, this guy has to go through, this soul has to go through certain reactions, right? Like, for example, poked by, you know, hot iron rods or, you know, beaten by elephants, so many things, right? So that soul is given body so that it can experience that pain.
Mm.
Big body or whatever is needed in order to experience that pain, it's given. In order to free a freedom of the reactions, whatever he deserves.
When Kuri Krishna said a detailed description of hell is given.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't read, I just read, you know, because, you know, as we said, we have to go through Canto 1 like that.
Describe all the things.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, right. All the hellish planets,
oh,
Garuda Puran. Yeah, there are a lot of details. I've not gone through because I'm going through first canto in sequence. I didn't want to jump, so I know how horrible it is, but I didn't want to go to. Yeah, it's very logical. Yeah. So that was the first section wherein the Prabhupada discusses in the this thing.
Yeah, the next point Prabhupada says that so individual soul is prone to forgetfulness.
Mm.
But by this forgetfulness, forgetful nature can be revived, you know, by lessons from Krishna. So that's why, you know, we try to, when we say Hare Krishna, what we are doing? We are trying to remember Krishna. We have forgotten Krishna, so we are trying to remember Krishna. So Prabhupada also says fundamentally, you know, main reason why everybody is suffering is because of forgetfulness of Krishna. That's the fundamental reason.
There are two kinds of souls. Namely, the minute particle soul, Anu Atma, and the super soul, Vibhu Atma. This is also confirmed in the Katha Upanishad in this way. Ano Raniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atmasya Janto Nihito Guhayam Tam Akratu Pashyati Vita Sok. Shoka, Shoko, Dhatu Prasadan Mahimanam Atmana. Both the super soul, Paramatma, and the atomic soul, Jivatma, are situated on the same tree of the body, within the same heart of the living being, and only one who has become free from all material desires as well as lamentation can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. Krishna is the fountainhead of the super soul also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters, and Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna, or by his bona fide representative, the spiritual master.
So we are on the same, you know, level as Arjuna, right? Like, we are also atomic soul, we have forgotten Krishna, or we have forgotten our real nature. So that's why we have Bhagavad Gita, right? Prabhupada came and gave us Bhagavad Gita, so we can also get enlightened.
So both the super soul and the atomic soul are situated on the same tree of the body, within the same heart of the living being. and one who has become free from all material desires as well as lamentations can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. So,
you remember the analogy of this one time? Two birds sitting on the same the trunk, right? Same tree.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Mm. Two birds sitting on the same on the branch.
The tree,
of the
tree. Same branch. One is witness bird and one is eating bird. So that's compared to soul and the super soul.
Yeah.
So one bird will be turning away and eating, enjoying. Basically, we are all like that. We are turning away and, you know, we are trying to eat stuff. And super soul is witnessing. It records everything. Then when we really turn and seek, you know, help, then super soul will help. Guide us, actually. That's how it guides. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. So it's, again, you know, Krishna is telling about the... So the text 21 also, it talks about more knowledge. So why is Krishna is giving so much knowledge, right? To convince Arjuna. So he can fight. That's what he's trying to, you know. Whatever reasons he gave, the six reasons, he's going to defeat one by one with knowledge. So here it's going to be... let's see what text 21. Let's recite Sanskrit.
Veda vinashinam nityam yaenam ajam avyayam katam sa purusha partha kam gayate antikam. Veda vinashinam nityam yaenam ajam avyayam katam sa purusha partha kam gayate antikam.
O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable, kill anyone or cause anyone to kill?
So more knowledge, right? That's what happens in the war, if he engages in war.
Continue.
Yes.
Purport. Everything has its proper utility, and a man who is situated in complete knowledge knows how and where to apply a thing for its proper utility. Similarly, violence also has its utility, and how to apply violence rests with the person in knowledge.
So, who is the good example who used the violence? Who can we recall? Somebody who, you know, used this anger, you know, violence
properly,
utilized in Lord's service. Somebody in the scriptures, can you recall? Prahlad didn't give any, he didn't engage in any kind of violence or anger.
When he tears, but Prahlad, when he tears,
Narasimha tears.
Prahlad worship.
So who is
Prahlad's
the
boy?
Bhima?
Bhima
also he used, but still better than
more
Bhima.
Clearer.
There is somebody who is...
Parshura.
Let's come back to Ram.
Hanuman.
Yeah, what did Hanuman do?
He burned Lanka in
the...
Yeah, with anger. He had so much anger. He completely... You know all the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he is actually best known for that. How he used this, you know, anger and... of course, you know, that's how he killed so many people.
Don't choose someone to die. They say, they ask you to see and come here, you burnt and killed.
Yeah,
so
yes.
Like, they do the same. They say, they ask you to see and come, you came, you burnt and killed.
Yeah, he was there to scope out things. Right?
So
he used, yeah, okay.
That's how he used, right? The utility, how to use it as a...
Mm.
Similarly, towards the end, Arjuna uses violence, Krishna's service. Right? Yeah, by fighting the war, yeah.
Although the justice of the peace awards capital punishment to a person condemned for murder, the justice of the peace cannot be blamed because he orders violence to another person according to the codes of justice.
Mm.
In Manu Samhita, the law book for mankind, it's supported that a murderer should be condemned to death so that in his next life he will not have to suffer for the great sin he has committed. Therefore, the king's punishment of hanging a murderer is actually beneficial. Similarly, when Krishna orders fighting, it must be concluded that violence is for supreme justice. And so Arjuna should follow the instruction, knowing well that such violence committed in the act of fighting for Krishna is not violence at all, because at any rate the man, or rather the soul, cannot be killed, so that for the administration of justice so-called violence is permitted. A surgical operation is not meant to kill the patient but to cure him. Therefore the fighting to be executed by Arjuna at the instruction of Krishna is with full knowledge, so there's no possibility of sinful reaction.
Do you see each sentence, at least for me, I don't know, each sentence is very powerful. Like, do you guys feel like that? Each, you know, something to take, right? Some message Prabhupada is giving, you know, right purports. So first of all, you know, the thing comes to my mind is, you know, in the society they are trying to abolish the death penalty and all, right? According to this, that person is going to suffer more. Because if he commits murder, the according to Manu Samhita is a law book for humanity, for humankind. So according to that, that person should be given the punishment, murder or capital punishment. Then only that's beneficial for them. So according to the scriptures. But you know, generally now it's all, you know, so many organizations, they oppose death penalty, all those things. Even they know they have a proof that he has killed somebody, all these things, they don't allow. They abolish, actually. I think in US also they abolish.
Certain few states.
Few states, eh? They don't give
death penalty. It is still there.
Still there. They give the some injection or something to kill. No, see how this so nice. It's so practical. And the other one, Prabhupada uses analogy again to, you know, surgical operation. It's not meant to kill the patient, but to cure.
So in the surgery, so somebody sees a doctor with a knife and somebody thinks, oh, okay, something is going to happen, you know, major thing, and get panicky. What's the point? But he is there to help the patient, right? So similarly, when Krishna is administering violence, it's there to remove their sinful reactions. And actually, it is said that everybody who died in the battlefield attained liberation because they died in front of Krishna. So it's even more beneficial. So that's why what point the Prabhupada is telling is, like, Arjuna should not be afraid that he's going to get any sinful reactions. Remember one of the reasons Arjuna gave, right? Fear of sinful reactions. So he's saying now, because it's under the order of Krishna, there is not going to be any sinful reactions. So you should not worry, just because first of all, he's not killing the soul. Soul cannot be dead at any time. All that's happening is the body is being terminated, and that too under the direction of Krishna, so there is no violence involved in that. There is no reaction for that. On the contrary, if we Arjuna doesn't follow Krishna's instruction, he will get reactions. Because whatever Krishna says is dharma.
And also the first two sentences, right? Everything has its proper utility, and a man who is situated in complete knowledge knows how and where to apply the things for its proper utility. So basically, I think Prabhupada talks about neti, 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 right? There is a philosophy like that. Like Buddhists, all those things, they don't want to use anything. They think, you know, it will entangle them more. But that defeats that. We can use it.
Pastime of Prabhupada, like sometimes many people come and speak, right? They invite many speakers to come. So once they invited one Mayavati Sannyasi and also Prabhupada to speak, give discourse. So, and Prabhupada obviously, you know, devotee, right? He knows he should not hear from Mayavadis and all those things. So, but luckily what happened that time, so they invited Mayavati Sannyasi, and they said, this disciple said, okay, he's not going to talk today because he's doing Manavrata. Let it be Manavrata. And Prabhupada took the time nicely. Talked about Krishna. Like, you know, they say, you know, we can't speak and all. But Prabhupada said, you know, given a chance, I'll speak anything for Krishna. So,
what's the word? Basically, silence means, somewhere he explains.
Yeah, he explains.
Silence means it's not actual.
Keeping quiet.
Silence means it's not just closing your mouth and sitting. Silence means you have to talk about
only Krishna.
Only Krishna.
Talk only Krishna, that is real silence.
That's real silence.
So I have a question, like, I mean, the Manu laws and all, I mean, if there is perfect, if there is the perfect evidence that somebody killed someone else, then the law basically of, you know, execution, all those things are fine.
Yeah.
But recently, like, they are unearthing several cases where, you know, had there been a, like, people were wrongly convicted of murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the states, like southern states, had all this other they just used to catch any black man and they just was moving around the street and the police would just take him, put him in jail, right? So they get accused of murder, and then, you know, if they had these strict laws of hanging the murderer, then the according to the justice system, they already had gotten the conviction, they would all be dead by now, right? So there is the other side of the world too, is that the world is not perfect, and you know, there are cases like this where, you know, you can't really, you know, people have bad intentions to prove other people as murderers, but whereas there are innocent people who can have gotten killed. So what does the law say about that? I mean, is it
if the king is perfect anyway, this is, we are talking about sub laws. The first thing itself, king has to have proper knowledge. It talks about in Srimad. Today only I was preparing something and I was reading there. So the king has to have, he has to follow the rules and regulations. Once he sets, he has some rules to follow according to Brahma, Manu Samhita. So when he follows that, all the subjects under him, everything will go smooth. Right now, who sits in the position of the king, they are not even qualified as to be a leader. Prabhupada calls them, all of them are Shudras. Because the actual how the Manu Samhita works is, there is a king and there is always an administrator, like how we have, right, the four Varnashrama. That's how it works. Always king will be there. Then the first category is Brahmanas. So Brahmanas are like a brain, or they are like a brain actually. Then the Kshatriyas are like a arms, and the Vaishyas are considered as a stomach, and the Shudras are considered as legs. So everything should be in the proper place for the body to work, right? So here right now we are missing Brahmanas, who knows the actual scripture. That's why once we don't have that, then when the Shudras become the leader or the king, then what will they do? This is what happens, as you said, you know, wrongly convict this person, wrongly convict that person, because we are the foundation itself is wrong. So once we have, anyway, I don't think anybody is following Manu Samhita now. It's not even in. It's up to the leader. Anyway, we are not proper Varnashrama system, that's the problem. But at least the standard is there. We know what's the standard, and we can deduct from that, you know, what's our condition now, the state, condition of the state. It's just, you know, we, at least when we teach somebody, we can, you know, teach at least some. We cannot convert all of the whole population. It's impossible. So Prabhupada said, you know, for example, Larivilas Prabhu said, you know, because of this temple in Samamish, the people get a lot of, you know, good vibration. The things work properly. It helps. We don't know how much, but, you know, the chanting, the services, the festivities we do, it benefits a lot of people. So it keeps at least the surrounding area, everything, you know, proper, no problems, you know, smooth going compared to, if you go to South Seattle, you know, whatever that south and all, right? They are horrible places. There you cannot even step on, you know, you'll be really scared to even walk around like that.
Seward Park area. We went there once and it was really nice and we didn't know what's going on, but afterwards some people told us, why did they go there?
Yeah, they are horrible places.
You were lucky to get your car back.
Okay, we'll do one more. We'll try to do.
One more?
Yeah, 22. We'll try to do 22.
So I had a quick question. So in Manu Samhita, if the king orders to kill someone, Krishna is not ordering to kill them, right? Because here it says violence in the name of religion is what is good.
Yeah.
Right? So even if the king orders the person to condemn them to death,
yeah,
then it is the word of Krishna.
Yeah, of course, because Krishna is giving the Manu Samhita, right? The law is
part of the scriptures, they're giving it. And
yeah, that's why king has to follow the scripture.
The scriptures, then
See, king has to follow scriptures. He cannot, on his own whimsical way, he cannot decide things. He has to be under, because he will be held responsible. If he doesn't follow the scripture, he whimsically decides, no, this person should be killed, then he will get the reaction. So the king has to be trained and he has to follow the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Also, quick question on so if the soul cannot be is not disturbed in another, does it have birth? And that means we have a limited number of souls only. Right?
Limited number of souls.
Correct, yeah.
Limited number is
unlimited number of souls. That's the whole thing, can't count.
Yeah, it's.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
It's
but it's
yeah,
not
it's
like they are
it's
being
a constant,
produced.
It's a constant.
Yeah, that's what you want. Okay, yeah.
The manifest, the immanifest. Yeah, we cannot. yeah, measure. Okay, let's do text 22.
As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new bodies, new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones.
Yes.
Change of body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. Even the modern scientists who do not believe in the existence of the soul, but at the same time cannot explain the source of energy from the heart, have to accept continuous changes of body which appear from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth and again from youth to old age. From old age, the change is transferred to another body. This has already been explained in the previous verse.
Which verse is that?
It's 2:13.
Right? That's a memorization verse. Anybody memorize?
This is like my first contact of devotees, like in 2003. So there used to be classes and all. Govindchan Pro used to take classes. This was when I attended that club,
basic.
Bhakti
Shastriya.
Bhakti
Ruksha.
That was the verse which they asked us to memorize.
So, no, that's the basic.
That is all
memorized. Actually, I memorized this particular verse when I was in 8th grade in school.
So they used to teach
us. Actually, I used to teach us. Yeah,
nice.
Jamani Karat Naro Parani Fatiri Naro Bhaji. In fact, next one to Nanam Chandan Chatrani Nanam Bhaji. They are very limited, sir.
Very nice. Yeah, 2:13 is memorization verse. So you all should memorize because that's going to come in the.
Which is 2:13?
2:13. Yeah, they know.
Yeah, but I hadn't heard of 2:13 though. But this one, text 22.
Yeah.
Transference of the atomic individual soul to another body is made possible by the grace of the super soul. The super soul fulfills the desire of the atomic soul as one friend fulfills the desire of another. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad, as well as the Svetasvara Upanishad, compare the soul and super soul to two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird, Krishna, is simply watching his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird, and Arjuna is the eating bird. Although they are friends, one is still the master, and the other is the servant. Forgetfulness of this relationship by the atomic soul is the cause of one's changing his position from one tree to another or from one body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard in the tree of the material body, but as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to do by voluntary surrender unto Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentations. Both the Mundaka Upanishad and the Svetasvara Upanishad confirm this.
Why does Prabhupada say the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentations? So what are the two characteristics of material existence which applies to all of us generally? So one is Prabhupada is saying is lamentation, so that's one. Right? All of us, we go through this every day. One is lamentation. What's the other one? every day we go through. That's how the our mind
enjoyment sense.
We discussed this. I don't know which context, but we discussed this one. Yeah. Particularly, there is a word in mind. Anchoring, right?
Anchoring.
That's the two things. So one side we anchor, one side we get, we lament. That's a very base, that's a material existence, that's
lament
what we do.
In this context, lamentations means what?
Like, to put it, I don't have, no, like like kind of that. Yeah, like a regret is more complaining
or asking or yeah.
You lament, I don't have this. You compare to somebody, you say that person has something, I don't have this, like, you know. Then anchoring is I want more. That's a very, all of us we go through that. That's how material existence is.
We know that it's not right, but still that.
My dad was asking me a question. When you go to the shop, you will say at home not to ask for this and this. But as soon as I go to the shop, I feel like I want to buy. I'm unable to control my mind. How to do that, Amma? He is asking.
Then you should have told, I also do like this.
I told, I'm learning still, even today also I'm doing the same thing.
You have very wise children, I don't know what
you
do.
Yeah. He's able to realize that she wants to come.
I think Sunday school they may discuss or something, right? In the classes, they may talk about all this.
No, they are very Krishna conscious, yeah, kids.
I'm not sure, but she asked me like
very
that, how to control my mind, I'm able to control my mind. Please tell me.
You can tell that, you know,
she's very smart.
You try train the mind to ask things which can be used in Krishna service or which she plans to use. So then, you know, when she goes there, you check whether this can be used, this can be used, this can be used. No, then she doesn't want to use.
The mind will say everything can be used.
Yeah, then she can take one and try to use it. Like
then
next time, go with the second one. Like
whatever is favorable to Krishna, that's the actually, what do you call that one? It's kind of a
highest, Yukta Vairagya.
Yeah, that's Yukta Vairagya, but it's
six,
like
six,
a... It's a main principle. So it's all, everything depends on this one principle.
Okay.
Whatever is favorable to use in Krishna service, it should be used. What is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, it should be rejected. So if you take something, this one, it can be used in so many ways, right? But somehow, you know, it's a good, very, very good recorder. Its quality is so good. Arivilas Prabhu's class, anybody I record, it's amazing quality. So it's good. It can be used in so many, but we are using it, you know, nicely. So that one thing you can, if they can, you know, remember that one thing, like whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness, they can use it. Yeah. And of course, as a parent, you need to guide them. They can tell, as Prabhu said, right? Mind can tell, you know, everything, you know, can be used in Krishna service. As a parent, you need to guide them for their age or small age, what all things can be used for Krishna service. So, you know, when they grow up, slowly you can guide them. That's the duty of the parent.
So can I continue?
Yes.
Although the two birds are in the same tree, I'm skipping the birds. Samane vrikshe purusho dimagno nishya shoshati muhyamana jashtam yada pashyati anyamisam asya mahamanyam iti vitoshoka. Although the two birds are in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and morosness as enjoyer of the fruit of the tree. But if in the same way, some way or the other, he turns his face to his friend the Lord and knows his glories, at once his suffering bird becomes free from all anxieties. Arjuna has now turned his face towards the eternal friend Krishna and is understanding the Bhagavad Gita from him. And thus, hearing from Krishna, he can understand the supreme glories of the Lord and be free from lamentation. Arjuna is advised herewith by the Lord to not lament for the bodily change of his old grandfather and his teacher. He should rather be happy to kill their bodies in the righteous fight so that they may be cleansed at once of all reactions from various bodily activities. One who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar or in the proper battlefield is at once cleansed of bodily reactions and promoted to higher status of life. So there was no cause for Arjuna's lamentation.
So you can all mark this verse. This verse describes the two birds, right?
Mm.
So this two bird description of eating bird and witnessing bird, and their interaction, all these things.
What is higher status of life?
Higher status of life. Where is that?
It's promoted.
Last one.
So he's not living anymore.
Mm.
One who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar.
Is the life of the soul? I mean,
cleanse of bodily reactions.
Yeah, they
means heavenly plan. They can go to the higher birth.
You can choose to, you know, go to any higher.
The reactions
planet.
Are gone. They and can go to higher planets.
And sacrificial altar. That's like, is that the rituals?
Yeah, exactly. Olden days, the mantras, right? They used to sacrifice animals.
Oh,
the
okay.
proper mantras, when they are done, the animal used to come out as a human being, or like, you know, old cow used to take and come out as a calf.
Mm.
So it's the proper rituals are there, and brahmanas proper ones.
Yeah.
They can say it properly, then it used to happen like that.
So if the brahmanas are, you know, really proper or perfect in the shastra, so they used to put the old cow in the fire. They used to take out the calf, right?
Mm.
Ariulas Prabhu all the time says, these days, they put the cow inside, they take out the barbecue. Yeah, he always says that one, no, because no potency.
Mm-hmm.
Means he's just comparing what's happening in the current.
Mm. So main point of Krishna is saying is, like, you know, as we change the garments, like as a person, one sweater, take up other sweater, like similarly, soul is changing bodies. So there is referring to point 13, right? How boyhood used to old age similarly takes to another body. And with respect to Arjuna, he's saying that, so you know, you should be happy that they are getting rid of the reactions in this life.
Mm.
Right? So that next life, they may take a more higher status life or younger body. That's more beneficial for them. So that's why Arjuna should not lament. That, you know, oh, my grandfather is passing away, oh, my,
I'm killing,
you know, they are losing this this thing. But it's actually, on the other hand, it's beneficial for them.
But even they don't get killed in the fight, but anyways they are going to change
the
body. That's the main thing. Anyway they are going to die, all of us, right? So anyway they are going to get new body.
So what's the solution for the eating bird?
No, I was just trying to kind of extend this analogy here. So here they say that since they have forgotten the relationship, that's why the birds keep on changing tree to tree, right?
Yeah, like the birds similarly.
Yeah. So then, and then at the end, he says, okay, becomes free of all lamentation. Like, so once you surrender to Krishna, then you become. So that analogy, the bird. What happens to the bird? They disappear from the tree or what? I'm just trying to understand the analogy here.
Then you realize
the birds are still existing, but still they are.
Then
friends.
You realize that I'm the servant of the one. Is, that's why once you realize that you realize that one is servant and one is master.
No,
see, now
the
eating bird is busy with eating.
Yeah,
you're
not
eating
food.
The eating bird is busy eating.
Yeah.
Sometimes he eats sweet fruits, sometimes bitter fruits, and he faces all reactions.
Yeah.
Right, and he's turning away from the other bird.
Which is trying to give you knowledge.
Yeah.
Oh.
So once this bird turns and saying, you know, okay, I'm bored of all these things, can you please give me some knowledge? Then he will be free from all lamentations, he will be happy.
Oh. Instead
and
of
the tree is compared to the body, material body.
Material
so the soul and super soul are going to different bodies because of, you know, tasting all these material things. So once we surrender to Krishna, we don't need to go through another body anymore.
That means they just fly away.
Yeah.
They
fly
no longer
away,
will be in the tree.
Yeah. They are not bound to a particular tree. Mm. Exactly. Yeah.
To become free.
Mm.
Yeah.
So in this, right, in the same analogy, it said that eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety. So I was again listening to Prabhupada. We listen almost every day. So in that he was giving a class titled how to become anxiety less. So he was giving analogy where, you know, like, is it true everybody is in some kind of anxiety?
Yeah.
Is it true? Right? Everybody has to agree. I don't think anybody will say no, right? So he was giving example of, you know, people who have so one side he was telling people who doesn't have money or anything, basically poor people. So they are in anxiety no? Thinking they don't have anything to eat, so they have to make some money to eat and all, right? And the people who have money on the other side, what's their anxiety?
About losing it.
How to save, right?
Yeah.
You save here or somebody will take. So either way, there will be always anxiety, whether you are a poor man or you are a rich man. There is no middleman here, right? You cannot exist as a middleman. So he was telling the life, the material life itself is anxiety. So he was telling to become anxiety less. And that's the devotional service as we know, right? When we use it in service, then you know it's...
One day we were discussing, Prabhu and I, many people are now, giving advice, everything to me, good, based on their experience. So some people say, it's going to be tough, how will you manage two kids, all those things. And some people, you'll not have sleepless, all these things. And some people you'll manage everything. So it's going to be full of anxiety. Then I was telling, already life is anxiety, right? Every day getting up, struggling to get up in the morning, coming to temple, chanting 16 rounds itself is a big struggle. It's not life is going easy, right? That itself is a big struggle. So it's not that now we are relaxed and comfortable, everything, and then some other thing. Of course, it's going to be additional thing, but the point we were discussing is people who are not devotees, anyway, they will be in anxiety. But they will be in anxiety for sense gratification, actually. Right? Whether I have to buy this, buy that, or all these things. But if we are anxious for Krishna, that is the best use of our anxiety. I'm anxious that I have to get up, I have to chant my rounds. I have to do more and more service to Krishna, right? Then that's the right use of anxiety. Then we'll become anxiety-less of all these material things.
Maybe I'll forward that link. It's very amazing. Very, very amazing.
Are the lectures in that prabhupadvani.org?
Yeah, it's in Prabhupada. Okay. But of course, Prabhupada has given thousands of lectures. Yeah. But yeah, this one in one of the...
So for all the verses of Bhagavad Gita, there is...
For Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, actually, at home you can keep playing continuously.
When you're cooking or something, right? Just put this one, because that's what I do. I'll be doing something, but I get some things which I can recall, and I write down some things which very nice practical use.
But you're right about human nature as such. You're